25 pro handicappers, $30,000 on the line. This is the Circa Friday Football Invitational, presented by Omaha Steaks on VSiN, the sports betting network. Here's your host, Matt Humans.
All right, it's a football Friday night in Las Vegas. Matt Humans here for the Circa Friday Football Invitational. We expanded this contest 2 weeks this season. It's a 20-week contest. Thanks to Omaha Steaks as our sponsor. And look at this setup we have tonight, Mike. And Mike Palm here joins me. Lucky enough to have Mike step in for Derek Stevens, second week in a row. Mike, great to see you. Did you ever in your lifetime think you would see Indiana on the brink of winning a college football national championship?
No, I don't. I mean, what was it? Anthony Thompson with a running back. They were okay then. You know, they
won it.
Yeah, late 80s. That was like the height of Indiana football.
They won the Copper Bowl.
not only are they there, I mean, they're the best team. They're there and they're the best team. And Oregon's going to have to play a heck of a game tonight to beat them. I certainly hope. And I took 4 on the opener. I think I told you that. I just thought the number should be 3, and it was 3. If it ever got to 2.5, believe me, I'd lay the 2.5 in this spot. But I hope they win because I think Indiana-Miami did a heck of a matchup.
Oh, it would be. There's no doubt about it. So last Friday when you and I were here and we were both talking about betting Oregon plus 4, we got skewered by a guy on Twitter who said, you guys are idiots. This line's going to close 6.
I was hijacked and I'm not on Twitter anymore.
your Twitter account had been hacked two or three months ago.
Yeah, I haven't. My life is better. My life is better. I've gained 90 minutes a day back to my life by not having to look at Twitter.
You were coaching a girls basketball team. Some people have referred to you as the Bob Knight of women's coaches.
I'm a little intense. We won our first game 25-8. I haven't coached elementary girls basketball since I win the mid 90s, and they were still playing 6-on-6.
Then. I can tell right now you're coaching a lot more defense than Fran McCaffrey ever did. You held a team to 8 points.
8 points, and it was only my third team gave up 6 in the fourth quarter when we cleared the bench to let everybody play. We were up 25-2 headed to the fourth.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. You got to get all the girls in the game.
You have to. They come to practice. They go. There's 7 and 8 years old.
Okay. All right. What do you think about this game right now? So, Mike, what I got a little Oregon plus 4. I got futures on both teams, actually. Oregon 8-1, Indiana 10-1.
Nice.
I actually played a bunch of Indiana money line at minus 160. I couldn't believe this price dropped today. I hit bet that at last night and a couple of books today. I got a few bets on Indiana, minus 180, minus 160. I don't know. I don't think the Hoosiers are going to lose the game tonight.
So what's the angle to back Oregon? They have revenge. I don't know how much that means. I'll tell you this. Going to Outson on October 11th or whatever that was and kicking the living heck out of the Ducks. That was not an 8-point game. Let's be honest. He threw a pick 6 and they won by 8. That told this Indiana team they can beat anybody anywhere, right? I think that really gave them the confidence and legitimized them. They were ranked 7th at the time. Oregon was ranked 3rd. Now, if you want to back Oregon, you have to decipher that it was really the Oregon defense and not the Texas Tech offense that made Texas Tech. But I'm not sure that the Texas Tech offense wasn't a little overrated. That defense was so good. They turned over their opponent so many times. They got them short fields and 3 and outs. Maybe that Texas Tech offense wasn't very good. It's certainly a different offense than they'll face with this offensive line, this quarterback, and these receivers.
Oh, it's going to be a much different offense. I was really surprised that Oregon shut out Texas Tech, but I thought the Red Raiders, didn't show up. Their offense didn't show up. Very surprising.
They shut them out 23-0. It probably should have been 41-0 if Dan Lanning would ever take points. But
I know you're a little bit critical of Dan Lanning and some of his game management moves. And you're right. You've called out a couple of cases where Dan Lanning should have been a little bit better in game management, let's put it that way. What was the scenario you talked about in the Texas Tech game?
Well, he in the first half, and I think he even said it in the halftime interview, I should have taken the points. You knew that points were at a premium in that game, and he went fourth down 5 times in the first half. I would have just accumulating points against that Texas Tech offense that couldn't move the ball. Let me ask you another thing. Mm-hmm. Watch it. And I had Miami minus 3 last night, but why is Mississippi in a hurry up on their second to last drive? Why were they snapping the ball? Don't you want to win the game with the touchdown? Why would you give Miami 3.5 minutes?
The only thing I can think of was the tempo offense was working for them, so they stuck with it. But, you don't want to leave that much time.
You're an underdog there if you leave Miami 3.5 minutes, I believe.
Yeah. Well, Miami made the biggest mistakes in the game last night. I counted at least 12 significant mistakes Miami made that allowed last night, allowed Rebels a shot to win that game. Miami probably should have won it going away.
It looked early. They were just too physical for him, right? I mean, and
dude, you're running for 8 yards a carry, and then you run a wildcat on a third down, then you run a flea flicker. What are you doing?
Well, that's Cristobal.
I know. And you know what you sign up for when you bet that guy, right? So last night, how was that result for Sorka Sports with a 31-27 win? Favorite barely covers and over the total.
So we were set up in a position where we needed an exact result. You know, we have this $2 million liability on Mississippi.
I heard that, yes.
But we took
you mentioned that on Mitch and Paul's show, right?
We took a $1.5 million bet on Miami last night.
Okay.
$800,000 and the money line and $700,000 at minus three.
Okay.
This was like 30 minutes before kick. So Miami by one or two would have been perfect because that bet knocks each other out. Really, we actually win to it because it's not quite $700,000 on the money line profit, and we would have knocked out the liability. But instead, we lost pretty good to the game, but we did knock out the $2 million that in case Mississippi would have won.
Now, how much liability do you have on the Miami Hurricanes winning the whole thing? I know somebody who is going to be in studio here very soon.
I think we're 450 losers to Miami. That's the second worst result. We are about 150 to Indiana or 100, and then we win to Oregon. As of now, we win to Oregon.
Okay. On the show tonight, after Mike Palm, will be Chris Massaro, the contest leader. Chris, bet Miami at 100-1 at Circus Sports on Selection Sunday.
Yeah, because before they got in, they were 100-1, and then when they got in, they were 35-1.
So he's got a big bet riding on Miami at 100-1. Chris Massaro, the contest leader tonight, followed by Jason Jarvis, two-time top 10 finisher in the Circa Million contest. Mike North out of Chicago to talk Packers-Bears.
And did he still submit picks?
I don't know if he submitted picks today. Even though he did not submit picks today. I think we blocked him today, finally, on the website. How about Jeff Cusera out of New Jersey, our Average Joe contest leader who's tearing it up? He's going to be on in hour number two. Steve Fezzik in the final hour. Steve has been cut from the contest, but he rallied, Mike, to finish in the top 10 in one of his entries in the Circa Millions.
And then from here, he'll go right up to the ballroom because we're giving him a check for ninth place in the Circa Millions.
How much does he get for ninth?
You know? 70. No. That's more. Let's see. I'm right. I was right. 70,000 for ninth
place. That's pretty good. Frank Carulli's following Steve Fezzik in the final hour tonight. Frank is in the Elite Eight as well. And we're going to talk about the live betting aspects of this Indiana-Oregon game the entire time tonight. And that's going to be kicking off here in about 25 minutes. Mike Palm, Director of Operations here at Circa, can you tell us why this number has dropped to Indiana 3 in the money line? Actually, in the last couple minutes while we've been talking here, Mike, Circa's bumped the money line up from minus 162 to minus 174.
Well, yeah, it was just too low. I mean, you know that.
That's why I had to bet the 160. But why has this number dropped to 3 and a lot of books around? Oregon's running back situation is a wreck now.
It's hard to comprehend. I didn't think it could get down to 3. I thought it was going to sit at 3.5 because I thought at 3 we would get a lot of Indiana money to lay the 3. But, you know, we haven't taken a ton of sharp action. Some sharp action early on Oregon at 4, but not a ton of sharp action on this game. More public money, but I don't know what more Indiana needs to do to convince folks. I mean, they made Alabama quit.
Oh, humiliated Alabama. Crushed the Crimson Tide. Demoralized them.
Everything they tried, they burned them.
You ever think in your lifetime you would see Indiana football humiliate Alabama?
In the Rose Bowl. Never.
Kurt Cignetti is, I said this, he's like Hannibal Lecter of Silence of the Lambs.
This has got to be the greatest two-season performance out of any college coach ever in any sport.
You said it. Brent Musburger said it. I said it. I don't think there's any doubt about it. You're taking what was the worst program in the Big Ten for a long time to the best number one ranked team in the country in 2 years. All these coaches talk about a rebuild, you know, 3 years. It's going to take some time, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. This guy did it in 1 year.
He lost two games, at Ohio State and at Notre Dame. Right. That's all he's lost.
True road games.
Yeah.
Against teams who played for the national championship last year. Football meets flavor with VSIN. And Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of the Circa Friday Football Invitational. Right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings and save 50% site-wide at omahasteaks.com. /VSIN. Mike, we got a lot to talk about here after the break tonight. It's NFL wild card weekend. You got a lot of stuff going on here at Circa, at the D, at the Golden Gate this weekend as well. And the night starts here at the D at 6 p.m. every Friday night.
Yeah, and I actually emceed it. We have the St. Blues executives and major sponsors are here. They had we had a cocktail party with them up in High Limit last night. They're at Overhang right now. Then they have a dinner at Barry's tonight, and then, of course, going to the game tomorrow. All the A's, the A's is like throwing their post-holiday party for all their employees for Oakland tomorrow night. They have like 150 employees coming down. A big party for them. I think they're trying to convince them to move to Las Vegas. They're a little reticent, some of the folks. We do this. The night starts here every night. Next Friday is going to be a special one because the Golden Gate turns 120 years old next Friday.
120
years old. The telephone number one, the address one, Fremont Street. First business with a phone in Nevada.
How many people lived here in 1905?
I don't know. A couple thousand, maybe.
Oh, that was the first casino in Las Vegas.
First casino in Nevada.
In Nevada.
In Nevada.
Yeah, no question. And also tonight, you've got the awards ceremony for the Circa football contest.
Yeah,
a bunch of these guys are outside the studio right before the show.
We're honoring the millions, folks, the five survivors, and three of the Grandissimos are coming to pick up their money this weekend, too.
Tony Gordon, part of the Grandissimo team. These guys were out here outside the studio right before the show. A lot of happy guys picking up checks tonight for these contests.
And we have some past champions. Past and present, but past champions come back to celebrate as well.
It's a big night here at Circa, and Indiana, Oregon about to kick off in 25 minutes or so. More with Mike Palm after a quick break. This is a Circa Friday Football Invitational presented by Omaha Steaks.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Is the Circa Friday Football Invitational presented by Omaha Steaks on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Heavy favorites.
All right, welcome back. Mike Palm, director of operations Circa Sports here tonight. Derek Stevens tied up with all sorts of commitments, and you got the Circa Sports football contest banquet tonight, and it's a busy night. The sportsbook is going to be packed. Indiana, Oregon, and a bunch of happy contest winners here tonight. Mike Palm, just inform me during the break here, you took some big action here. Major wagers on the Indiana-Oregon game. What do you have, Mike?
Yeah, the same young man that popped us on Miami last night came back with 800,000 on Indiana minus 164 and then 250,000 lane to three minus 115. So.
That's not the same guy who's putting out the videos constantly on Twitter. I know you're off Twitter, but it's not that guy.
Not that. That guy's clownish.
A clown?
Clown. Total clown.
Also running a tout service in a boiler room, apparently.
Yeah.
Hear about that? Yeah.
He was outraged. He wants to come in and bet $100,000 on an NBA game with a major injury. That, you know, I mean, come on. It's all for show and clout.
So what position are you in tonight on this game right now? Who do you need? And futures considerations play into it here.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to need Oregon now at this number. The matrix won't come out. I mean, I can get a dashboard, but it doesn't calculate all the parlays and all that stuff. We like Oregon from a futures perspective as well. And now with this $1 million coming in on Indiana, that'll probably make sure that we have a decision that's over $1 million in favor of Oregon that we need. Mm-hmm. We're probably on the wrong side here.
And how's the handle on this game compared to last night so far? Does it look like much more on this game?
Well, we still got, 15 minutes to go here. But I'm pretty confident that we'll come in heavier on this game tonight. A bigger crowd in the book tonight. Mm-hmm. This game, a little more clout with the number one team in the rematch of two Big Ten schools. A little more following than maybe at least where we book things than Ole Miss.
Mostly threes on the screen, including here at Circa, where it's now 3 minus 25, and it's 3.5 at a couple books, but mostly threes out there. Mike, Mitch Moss and Paul Howard were asking me, is there an NFL playoff game that you love this week? Mm-hmm. You know, I think these are great matchups. I don't know, necessarily love any of them from a betting perspective, you know, laying the points or taking the points. What about you?
I bet some, but I don't love them.
Right.
I bet the Packers when it got down to a pick, but I would still lay 1.5. I just, you know, they're playing for the third time in less than 40 days. The Packers dominated the first half of both games. They've never trailed in regulation. I do believe their defense is better than the Bears. Mm-hmm. Bears haven't had a lot of success playing at home. You know, there's pressure for a team like that playing at home in the playoffs. I think the Packers are better. I think Houston's will put much more pressure on Aaron Rodgers than Baltimore did. I didn't bet that game. I have a future on Houston to win the AFC at 20-1. I could be convinced of it at 3.5 to take Pittsburgh and try to have a little middle there early. The game that fascinates me is Buffalo and Jacksonville. I think, Matt, the winner of this game goes to the Super Bowl.
Do you really?
Because both of these teams can go to Denver and New England and win.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it already. Jacksonville went to Denver and Buffalo beat New England. My problem was all week I couldn't find anybody that liked Buffalo. Not anybody. And the whole Bill 80 sheet was to Jacksonville. I love Jackson. And finally found him. Zach Cohen. I just interviewed him for my Chicago radio show. He loves the Bills.
Does he?
He loves the Bills.
Loves the Bills.
So at least we got one side on the Bills. I could bet the Bills here.
Bills haven't won a road playoff game in about 30 years, right?
Do you know the last 12?
They should have won in Kansas City a few years ago.
But you kick it into the end zone, McDummy. The last 12 playoff games for the Bills have either been in Buffalo or at Kansas City.
Yeah.
That's the only places they've played.
That's wild, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah. So I was in the same boat this week. If I heard 20 people throw out an opinion on Bills Jaguars, all 20 like the Jaguars.
I hate it.
Right. So Rams Panthers is the first game. I've heard a couple of bookmakers say this week they're taking sharp money on the Rams. At least they did at 10. That knocked the number up to 10.5. Circa hit 11 here.
We hit 11 on Tuesday.
And then back to 10 now.
Then we were back to 10, and then 10.5. And now we're at 10.5.
Oh.
Yeah.
Screen showing.
Screen 10. Slow. Wow, screen slow.
This about, I guess. Screen didn't update in the last 2 minutes. 10, it says shows 10 minus 115 here, but you're at 10.5.
Yeah.
I think everybody's really confident the Rams are going to win the game, but that's a big number to lay on the road in a playoff game.
It might be that I think it's the biggest number ever that a road team would lay in a playoff game in this the format where you have divisional and wild card. Yeah, it's not like the Rams are going to say, we have no problem here. They just lost there a month ago. So, I mean, they're on notice, and I just can't watch Bryce Young play. I mean, I don't know his decision-making. Just not a very good quarterback.
He looks like a kid out there playing a man's game.
Yeah, true. It's true. And it took 3 Stafford turnovers to lose that
Stafford
game.
Stafford was terrible in the first half of that game the first time around. So I want to get back to Packers-Bears here for a minute because we're going to have Mike North on the second hour tonight. And I'm sure Mike's going to feel like confident that the Bears have what it takes to win this game. What do you make of the Bears? The luck factor for this team's been off the charts. The comebacks. But Ben Johnson has done a nice job with the offense, and they look like a much better operation than they have in the last 5 years. They needed a miracle, an onside kick recovery to win the last game at Soldier Field a few weeks ago, about a month ago. You like the Packers here at pick, but you said you don't love it, right?
I don't love it, but I think
you probably don't love
team.
Jordan Love either, do you?
I don't love LaFleur.
Right.
I think LaFleur is a better coach when Malik Willis is in the game. I really do. I think he calls a better game for Malik Willis. And this kid Malik Willis made himself. This kid Malik Willis made himself a lot of money on the open market here at the close of this year with the way
so
he played.
So many teams need quarterbacks. Yeah. Okay, how about San Francisco, Philadelphia? This is an interesting one. Are you still at 6 here?
We are at six. From 4 to 4.5 to 5 to 5.5 to 6. But the Eagles not getting bet in the future markets, the defending champs. They're cold in the few, but they're getting pounded in this game. And the Eagles offense can disappear, not for a game, for a month, right? Is everybody just overreacting to San Francisco's struggles against Seattle in that game?
Probably. I think there's some overreactions to that because the offense was so bad against San Francisco on Saturday night. The defense wasn't really the problem. Everybody talks about how bad the San Francisco defense is, but that wasn't a problem in that game. Oh, at 6, it's tempting to take the Niners in the points.
Very tempting. And everybody thought Shanahan this, Shanahan. I mean, everyone's so down on the 40.
Right.
They just hosted a game to be the one seed.
Well, I think when everybody's down on the team, that's when you want to buy. Right?
Well, this is this is the buy low, right? You and you, you guys used to do that segment, didn't you? You and JVT, you know, buy low, sell high.
By the way, I heard from your old co-host, Amal Shaw, last night.
Was he looking for someone's phone number?
Wes Reynolds, yeah.
Yeah, he I told him to contact
you. Was he trying to
you.
Jump on the Indiana bandwagon or
I
what?
I think he wanted, if he had an extra ticket, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, it's Amal trying to track down Wes. What could be the issue?
He texted me. I said, Gary Humans has his number. Exactly what I told him.
He's probably on the way to Miami right now, or Atlanta, where the game is. I heard, by the way, it's 90% Indiana fans tonight in Atlanta. People on the ground, that's what they're saying.
Well, they also said it was the 85% Texas Tech in Miami. So Oregon not...
Look at that. You can see Wes Reynolds in section 212 smoking a
Oregon.
Cigarette right there.
There's this little smattering of green in every section. They don't travel very well.
No, they don't. It's surprising. How about this? I'm fascinated by this game on Sunday night. I want to see who you like here. Chargers, Patriots, number at 3.5.
It's hard when they don't have an offensive line, gosh. You know? Yeah. If they had an offensive line, I think there's a lot of pressure on Justin Herbert, actually.
Win a playoff.
He's got to win. He's got to do something, right? This guy was supposed to be great, but we made the excuse. He's had all these buffoonish coaches. Mm-hmm. He had Cristobal. He had Anthony Lynn. He had the guy that always went Staley that went on fourth down all the time. Yep. He's got a real coach. They won 11 games, and they laid down the last one. They're really an 11-5 team. Mm-hmm. You got to do something, buddy. You got to start performing.
I agree with you 100%. The problem here is you got to build in excuse that you also mentioned that the offensive line's a mess, right?
Yeah.
You got two of the best young tackles in the NFL, and they've both been out. One for the whole season.
Remember the end of last year, they went. That was the game that got them clinched the playoff. They played really well in New England. I get it was a different team and that, but they played very well in that venue. I didn't play the game. I would have to take 3.5, though. I don't want to lay 3.5.
Chris Massaro is a lifelong Patriots fan. He's going to be in next. We'll see what he thinks about that game. Monday night, you said you lean Houston a little bit at Pittsburgh. Texans laying 3.
Yeah, I think their defense will create pressure for Rodgers. I'm not a big D'Amico Ryans guy. I'm not. But I think this team is talented enough that it will carry him. Now, can they go on the road in the second round, which they've never been able to do? And, you know, but it's always been Baltimore, Kansas City also.
Right.
All right? Maybe they're going to get a different opponent this year if they can win.
Mike, we did the VSiN NFL Futures Draft right before the season. Take a look at the standings. I think we got them up here. And Patrick Maher hit a long shot at the very end of the season to finish on top. I was second. Tim Murray, third. Super Dave Ross, Dave. Jensen Lewis round out the top five. And then you see the bottom five there, Mike. Stormy, JVT, Mitch, Paul, and Gil at the bottom. Did you follow that draft much?
I watched it. Dustin did a great job on it, but good congratulations to Patrick for doing the research. I mean, he vociferously combs over stats and finds these great values.
Dustin gave him the winning pick.
I can't believe that.
That's all right. Props to Dustin and Patrick. And the VSiN NFL Futures Draft. Hopefully you're in on the MLB Futures Draft.
I'd love to be.
Yeah, we're going to do that in early March. We got that confirmed from Steve Cohen. So hopefully
get Wes Reynolds in on it, too. He's very good at those season win totals at the Westgate every year.
All right, quick break. The leader, Chris Massaro, is going to be in studio. Stay tuned.
Is the Circa Friday Football Invitational presented by Omaha Steaks on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we're back. Omaha Steaks presents the Circa Friday Football Invitational. Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of this Friday night contest. This week, elevate your game day spread with Omaha Steaks Private Reserve Ribeye Crown Steaks, carved from the most prized cut of the ribeye. When it's time to eat like a champ, Omaha Steaks delivers the crown jewel of steaks and more straight to your door. And right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings and save 50% site-wide. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN. Minimum purchase required. See site for details. OmahaSteaks.com/VSIN. And we have the contest leader, Chris Massaro, in studio for the next half hour. Chris, we're about to kick off tonight in Indiana, Oregon, college football playoff semi to determine who's going to face Miami in the national championship game. And you did not use this play on your contest card tonight. How about the number dropping to 3? A little bit surprising to me.
I was shocked. I was clicking a couple of different apps today and checking some offshore accounts. And I with the news that, you know, Whittington was questionable or, you know, undisclosed injury, they're saying he's sick. I did just see a video right before walking into the studio that he was, you know, on the field with pads on. So we'll see if he plays. But, you know, they lost Jordan Davison, 15 touchdowns. He accounted for the two touchdowns on the ground last week versus Texas Tech. And you saw some tweets from, you know, respected people, Pete Thamel, Pat Forty, saying that they were possibly going to be down to their freshman running back and had some defensive players, you know, filling in at the running back position. Not exactly what you want when you're in the Final Four of college football. Indiana was very close. I noticed you just put up that the Bear had Indiana as his best bet. It almost made my cut. I just didn't want to be aggravated tonight on Friday. I figured I would save all my aggravation and frustration for Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and just let this one slide. But Indiana was real close to making my card just due to the fact that, for one, Oregon has ridiculous travel. I mean, they were, you know, Eugene to Miami, Miami back to Eugene. Are they going to fly back across the country to Atlanta? You know, that's three cross-country flights in a, you know, short period of time. And I know Indiana, you know, they were big underdogs when they beat Oregon last time, and the revenge factor, and, you know, people make these power rankings and should they really be that big a favorite? But I mean, Dan Lanning, he's kind of in a wild card in this. The guy doesn't like to punt, doesn't like to kick field goals. He's like almost like Dan Campbell on steroids. He just doesn't ever punt the ball or ever kick a field goal. He goes for it every single time, crazy plays. And I just feel like I could trust Cignetti more than him. I can trust Mendoza more than I can trust Dante Moore. You know, for as dominant as the performance was against Texas Tech, Dante Moore, very loose with the ball, couple fumbled snaps, a bunch of false starts. He had the interception. I just feel more comfortable with Mendoza, very high IQ player. And obviously, I think the coaching advantage goes to Cignetti. I do have a bunch of money line bets on this game tonight with Indiana, a couple money line parlays as well. Just couldn't get there minus the three. I was nervous that the money was coming the other way. So I just kind of stayed clear in the contest. But I am on Indiana tonight.
Your guy, Sean McDonough, is going to be the play-by-play guy.
The best.
He'll do better than Chris Fowler did last night.
Chris Fowler is, I'm telling you, at this point in the season, he's mailed it in. Even though it's the biggest games, he just wants to go to Wimbledon. It's all he cares about.
Aussie Open.
Aussie Open first, then Wimbledon, whatever he does. Just, you know what, Chris, next year, just skip the whole playoff. We don't need you on NFL games. If they could clone, they're doing a lot of cloning these days. I know I heard Tom Brady cloned his dog. If we could clone Sean McDonough to announce all the college football big-time games, it'd be great. Last week, absolutely incredible performance in the Georgia Ole Miss game. The guy just elevates every game. He's definitely my favorite. Great guy, too. You know, Massachusetts.
Just happened to have Boston ties.
Yeah,
just
Boston
like you.
Ties. He's a great guy.
A little
guy.
Bit biased.
Yeah, yeah, really good guy. So hey, we're quickly big Sean McDonough fans.
Let's take a look at the contest plays for tonight. We have four contestants who did play this game. And again, we started this contest with 25 handicappers. We're down to the Elite Eight. And four guys in on tonight's game. Kenny White, longtime Las Vegas odds maker, professional bettor, is on Indiana -3. Best bet for Kenny White, the Hoosiers. The Bear, Chris Felica of Fox Sports. And the Bear has a shot, an outside shot to catch you, Chris, in this contest. We're going to show the standings here in a moment, but it's unlikely. The Bear is on Oregon +3 as a best bet. He's also on Indiana, Oregon under the total of 48.5. So the Bear's got two of his three plays on tonight's game. Scott Pritchard, also with a shot to track you down, outside shot. Indiana, Oregon over the total of 48.5. So the Bear and Pritchard on opposite sides of the total tonight. That's Scott Pritchard's best bet. The team of Edwin Meyer and Carl Sack on under, right there with the Bear, under 48.5. And it's interesting. Scott Pritchard, I think like you, and I talked about this with Mike Palm, and I want you to explain the bet you made on the Miami Hurricanes. Scott Pritchard, who's in the top five of this contest, I believe he's third going into this week. Yeah, Scott's third, tied for third. He has a futures bet on Miami at 30-1. So he's in great position here going into the national championship game. You've got an even better number, and you've got a chance to cash a big ticket on the Miami Hurricanes. What position are you in here headed into that game.
Yeah, on December 4th, I was in Vegas. I was betting the fact that Miami was going to make the playoff. I got plus 650, plus 550. And it was becoming more and more obvious the way they were setting up the selection show that Miami was definitely going to make it. Mm-hmm. And just in my eyes, I know some people thought Notre Dame, but I kept looking and I had the plus 650 pretty good. So I made some good money on that. But right before the selection show, the day before, I think December 4th or 5th, Circa had 100-1. I have it a couple other spots at like 85, 90-1. So basically my position is about it's not a crazy thing. It's a good payout. It's about total of $500 at, like 90 something, 92 to one or something. So it comes out to like 47,000. So it's a really good position to be in.
How much did you bet at 100-1?
I don't know. The total bet at basically at 92-1, it's like $500. So yeah, okay. it's almost the whole thing. Yeah. The payout is like 47,000. The bet at Circa was just 100. I have 100 someplace else, 100 someplace else.
Gotcha.
It was just the last day I was looking at it. I'm like, oh, I'll throw another 100 on it at Circa. They have 100-1 still. But 100-1, December 4th at Circa, it was available. It was a little higher, like a couple days before that. I think 125, maybe 150. I've heard some stories of someone had 200-1. But yeah, so I'm sitting in a good spot now. Obviously you wish you bet more on it, but they have the most, in my opinion. It seems like it by watching these games, and maybe Ohio State aside, they're out of it now, obviously. But Miami just has so many unbelievable, talented, speed, fast, powerful, defensive guys. Of course, Malachi Toney is only supposed to be in high school still. And you know Carson Beck's going to get drafted. So they just have a lot of NFL players on this roster. And I thought Cristobal did a pretty good job. I know a lot of people question it. Probably shouldn't have took that timeout as early as he did last night before they scored. But besides that, I think he's coached really well in the playoff.
Yeah, should not have run the Wildcat on third down. Should not have run the flea flicker when you're getting 8 yards per carry. I mean, I thought the players made many more mistakes than the coaching staff did last night for Miami. Just,
oh, of course. Yeah. How many? Three or four dropped interceptions. The receivers couldn't catch a cold. I think it's not as much Cristobal, but that Shannon Dawson, very questionable offensive coordinator. Yeah. When you're pounding it up the middle, never run a flea flicker ever. And it's the second time he's done it. They've run two flea flickers in the past three games. I hope that play is totally scrapped from the playbook. You know, you want to be conservative when you're conservative. Don't start all of a sudden switching it up when you're getting 8 yards of carry with Fletcher. You should never be doing a flea flicker. That was an insane decision. But, yeah, you're right. They dropped a lot of balls. Obviously, Miami dominated the game. Should have been a bigger score. Should have never come down to what it came down to. But, hey, good for Miami getting that gut check. Maybe that helps them in the final.
All right, let's look at the standings here. The Friday Football Invitational, Chris Massaro on top. You finished third in this contest a year ago, and you're back in the catbird seat here with 2 weeks to go. Last night, Jason Jarvis had a good friend hanging out with us at Barry's. Rich, he congratulated you on winning the contest. JVT congratulated you this week. A lot of people acting like this is over, Chris.
Yeah, I'm surprised I haven't got the text from Tim Murray. You know, last year he tried to jinx me from third place live on air. So, no, it's funny. I thought he was going to poison my food last night at dinner. I've never met. He is the most competitive person. He's coming in after me, so I'm a little nervous. He's the most competitive person I've ever met. He was like competitive with the ordering of the dinner last night. So he's like, "Where are you? We need to order."
He's
like,
so competitive. He doesn't want to let anyone else even get a word in at the dinner table. He talks 99% of the time. Chris Massaro, Chris Felica, Jason Jarvis, Scott Pritchard, your top four. The Bear right now is 4.5 points behind you. Jarvis, 5.5 back, along with Scott Pritchard. Jarvis has got the tiebreaker edge at 13-4-1. You were 10-7-1 on the best bets. Kenny White, Frank Carulli, Matt St. Marie, and Carl Sack round out the Elite Eight. And we'll be back to talk NFL playoffs. And we got the kickoff of Indiana-Oregon up next on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Circa Friday Football Invitational, presented by Omaha Steaks on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, thanks to Mike Palm of Circa for kicking off the show with us tonight. And we're about to get the kickoff here in Indiana, Oregon. And Chris Massaro, a little bit surprised here that this number dropped today. Indiana is going to go off as a three-point favorite at most books. And Mike Palm said took a major money line play on the Hoosiers here right before kickoff. Right now it's at Indiana 3 minus 120. The money line dipped as low as minus 160. Now back up to minus 175 here. I don't think Indiana's going to lose this game tonight. I do have a small play on Oregon plus 4. You love futures. Do you have anything on these two teams? I've got a little bit on Oregon 8-1 and Indiana 10-1.
Yeah, I heard that you had both of them, so you're in a good spot. I actually have been driving around playing some. I like to play future parlays, as everyone knows, and DraftKings usually have the best odds for those, although Circa had some better numbers that I liked on some NBA stuff. So I linked up both of these teams, Indiana to win the whole thing as a hedge against my Miami ticket. I also took Oregon with the points. I actually got it at 4, and I linked it up with some with the Detroit Pistons to win the East and some with the New York Knicks to win the East. Circa had the best number on the Pistons by far in the market. DraftKings was better on the Knicks. So I take the drive to Hoover Dam, you know, a couple times a week, and I pop in some different future parlays. So I'm in a good position either way. I'm definitely going to be betting more on the team that wins this game, you know, to obviously hedge against my Miami. Obviously, if Oregon wins, the line's going to be a little bit more beneficial. I also think these look-ahead lines are way off. Miami has a home game. It's going to be excessive travel for both of these teams. So I think those look-ahead lines will be coming down. I know it's currently Indiana 5.5 over Miami and Oregon 2.5 over Miami. Those seem a bit high to me.
All right, let's actually talk about the NFL playoff weekend here. And again, one more time, I'll mention who's got plays on this Indiana-Oregon game tonight in a Friday Football Invitational. Kenny White on Indiana minus 3, that's his best bet. The Bear, Chris Weeka on Oregon plus 3 and under 48.5. Carl Sack on under 48.5. And Scott Pritchard's best bet, Indiana-Oregon over 48.5. So there you go, 5 plays from 4 handicappers on tonight's college football playoff semifinal, which just kicked off. Oregon's going to have the ball to start the game. And Indiana pins Oregon pretty deep in its own territory there. Hoosiers fired up. Do you see Wes Reynolds firing a lung dart right there in section 212?
He's in the smoking section.
Yeah. Indiana apparently has about 90% of the fans. Did you hear that today?
I did.
Does that care to you much when you handicap a game like this?
I mean,
this?
It has to in a dome stadium where you're going to be loud. If, you know, I mean, Moore is not a veteran quarterback. I mean, this is definitely an environment he's probably never experienced except for that Penn State game where he did come through. So give the guy some credit. He's been pretty good.
Could be the top two quarterbacks picked in the NFL draft. Dante Moore, Fernando Mendoza going head-to-head tonight. Chris Massaro, let's start NFL wildcard weekend on Saturday with the 49ers at Philadelphia. Circa hit as high as 6 on this number this afternoon. The contest number is 5.5. You're taking the 5.5 with the 49ers.
Yeah, listen, Trent Williams has practiced the last 2 days. The team is 55-29 with him. They're only 4-13 without him since 2020. And he practiced, so that's a good sign. I know this line's ticked up to 6. I got 5.5. That's fine with me. I mean, the wheels were falling off of Philly. They lost 3 in a row, Dallas, Chicago, and the Chargers, where the offense couldn't get in gear at all. So everyone's like, oh, Philly's right of the ship. You know, they're ready for the playoffs. They're on a 4-game win streak. Well, they beat Vegas, Washington twice with Josh Johnson, and they got thoroughly outplayed, outgained by Buffalo, you know, 331 to 190 in total yards, 20 first downs, so 11. Jalen Hurts had 108 yards passing against Buffalo. So I don't think Philly's back at all. I think with Trent Williams back, I like Purdy in big games. They had that big pick six, Indiana.
Indiana
wow.
Scores on a pick six to open the game. First pass from Dante Moore.
Who cares about my picks? Pick six, Indiana. Wow. Unbelievable.
How about that? 11 seconds into the game, Hoosiers up 6-0. Anyway, go ahead, continue.
Yeah, so I just think this, it's a little bit of a flawed winning streak by Philly. I like San Francisco. I like that Trent Williams is back at practice. I like 5.5 points. I think it'll be a close game for a Philly offense that's been struggling all year long.
You're right about that. I like taking the points with the Niners here, too. I was really surprised when I walked in here today, looked up the board, said 6? Eagles are up to 6? I'll be with you taking the points. Good luck on that game. How about tomorrow with the Panthers and the Rams? And this number hit 11 at Circa this week. Contest number today, Panthers plus 10.
Yeah, this was going to be my best bet when it was 11 or 10 and a half. And of course it's 10, and now they're back to 10 and a half. So I'm on the wrong, I'm on a bad number again. But again, I don't really care. I was waiting for this number to pop. I made it 7.5, 8 tops. It came out at 10. I bet it at 10. Went to 10 and a half. I bet a little bit more. You know, listen, another travel situation. The Rams played December 29th at Atlanta, fly back to L.A., play a Sunday game. Now they got to fly back across country again to Carolina on another short week. It's their third game in 12 days. They have a lot of, you know, older players, a lot of injuries the whole season. You know, they are getting Adams back, but it's an outdoor game on grass, some rain in the forecast. And for all the warts that you have on Carolina, the defense has played a little bit better of late. Last three games have held opponents at 4.8 yards a play. And I like the fact that teams have been able to push the ball down the field. I guess I get it. Bryce Young's not great, but they have big receivers with Leggett and McMillan. They get the big tight end, Tommy Tremble. Bryce Young could just see over the line of scrimmage. They should be able to get the ball down the field. It is a big if.
Right.
But I think they should be able to score some points. Arizona was going up and down the field against this Rams team with no running game. And if it wasn't for that crazy crackback penalty that sent Arizona, it was basically a 69-yard penalty. It was a 54-yard pickup with a 15-yard personal foul and a crackback. Arizona was only down 3 going in to take the lead on the Rams. After that, the game went a little awry, but I think Carolina can move the ball. This defense has been leaking oil for a while. Give me the points at home, Carolina Panthers.
All right, big dog, Panthers plus 10. Before we get to your best bet, what are your thoughts? And this game did not make your card. I thought you might have a play on the Chargers-Patriots game. As a lifelong Patriots fan, again, Chris Massaro, pro bettor out of San Diego, grew up in Boston. Patriots 3.5-point favorites, total 45.5. You're not going to play this?
No, I wish if we could have played a first half, I would have played it. The Patriots are 13-3-1 or 13-2-2, depending upon the spread you got in the first half against the spread. They're 16-1 money line on the year and in the first half. So people have been making fun of the Patriots schedule a lot. If you look at the Chargers road schedule, very weak. At Vegas, at the Giants, at Miami, Tennessee, Kansas City, Dallas, Denver. They had two playoff teams, Jacksonville as well. They played it on the road, but in the Jacksonville game, they got absolutely smoked.
Yeah, they got
34-6. Denver game last week, granted no one played for not many starters played for each team, but they only scored 3 points against Denver and 6 points against Jacksonville in the first half. So the only two playoff teams they played in the first half, they only scored a total of 9 points. So you get a slow starting Charger team versus a fast starting Patriots team. I'm all in on the Patriots first half money line and -2.5 as a play. If I could have used that in the contest, I would have. I do think it'll be a tight game. I don't think it'll be a blowout either way. I wouldn't want to lay 3.5 or 4. I think it'll be a field goal type of game.
Chris Massaro, 72-52-2 against the spread. First place with 78 points as we head into the final 2 weeks. Only 3 plays this week and 3 plays next week. Your best bets Monday night, Texans Steelers over 38.
Yeah, this was just thinking outside the box. I haven't heard one person say they like the over in this game, which is obvious. You know, it's two low-scoring teams and, you know, defensive football, and it's going to be cold, and it's Pittsburgh-Houston. But you know what? Houston has scored in 8 of their 17 games. They scored 23 points or more. A couple of big shootout games, too. 26-44, 26-36, 38-40, 26 again. And Pittsburgh, in 6 of their last 8 games, have scored 26 points or more. So the offense have been scoring some points. This is a weird game. I feel like we might get a defensive touchdown or a special teams touchdown. And on the other side of things, Paul Howard special, both of these coaches like to kick field goals, and they got two of the better kickers in the league. Fairbairn's awesome, 44, 48, 57 long, hasn't missed an extra point all year. Boswell, 27-32, he has a long of 60. He's got one missed extra point, which was last week, but 42 of 43 on the extra points. So for you don't want field goals and an over, but this is the type of game where the field goals might be okay because you only got to get to 38 points. You know, 21-18, 23-16, you're there. So I really like this game to go over. Pittsburgh's defense is really bad against the pass, so maybe Stroud could get something going. Pittsburgh, 22nd in yards per attempt, 6.8 on the back end there, not very good. Last 3 weeks, it's been really bad, 8.1, and last week was just abhorrent. They gave out 12.3 yards per attempt through the air. So Pittsburgh's got a lot of problems on the defensive end. They like to kick a lot of field goals. Pittsburgh's been scoring more than you would think on offense. I think this is a recipe for an over.
72-52-2 ATS, 78 points, first place by a margin of 4.5 heading into the final 2 weeks. You were 10-7-1 on the best bets. And again, Texans Steelers over 38, your best bet. Panthers plus 10, 49ers plus 5.5. Third place a year ago, the leader, about to get fitted for the green jacket, $15,000 winner's check, the trophy. What do you have, 42 regular? Is that your jacket size?
Well, yeah, I'm trying to slim down, you know. I was at the gym this morning, trying to do my best. Big meal we had last night, a lot of food.
All right, thanks for stopping in, and best of luck this weekend, Chris Massaro.
All right, thanks, Matt.
Up next, Jason Jarvis. This guy loves to talk. Stay tuned, VSiN, Sports Betting Network.